Today on Real Radio.
When we think of sentiment, emotional, and sensitive, these are things that our culture has exalted as almost the authority on what we should do. Like this, how do you feel about that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the last five verses of chapter 5. Now, Paul has already laid out his case about avoiding sexual immorality. And now he takes it a step further in admonishing the believer to stay away from anyone who practices that kind of sin. Don't even associate with them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Living Out the Word of God.
You have been galvanized to go to the world. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Who do you say that to? You, me, every believer. We are to go. And we're to go with wisdom, understanding. We are not going to go into the world, which is our mission field, outside these doors and become tainted by it. No, we are going to go out into that world and affect that world for the glory of God. Why? Because we've already come out of the world. A true believer doesn't want anything to do with this world anymore. You understand that this world will pull you down and destroy you. So what do? You either respond in a protectionist type view and don't go anywhere, or you say, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm going to be radicalized for Jesus, and I'm going to go to those who are hurting and love them. Pretty powerful stuff, to be wise, to reach out to them. It doesn't mean to be their friend. It doesn't mean to act like them. It doesn't mean to be tainted by their conduct. It means that you and I have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the calling, and by God's grace, the ability to go out into that dangerous world and say, hey, God loves you. Now, what's the wisdom factor of it? Well, if God delivered you from a life of alcoholism, for example, then I don't think it would be wise for you in your witness to go to Joe's Bar and Grill to share Christ. That may be too much of a temptation. But you would have no problem, say, going to the mall or going to the beach or going to the whatever. Maybe God delivered you out of a pornographic world. Then it probably wouldn't be good for you to go to Sunset and Vine. Be wise in how you conduct yourself. But listen, we are to be infused into the world. We are amazing, awesome ambassadors ordained by God to get out there into that world and to be wise about reaching them in this world. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, and Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. The power of God's word in your life, that we are to be wise. Next, we're to be different. The church is to be different. We are to be different in this world that God has called us out into being. And church, this is a real snare and something to be careful about. I'll speak regarding the church in a corporate sense. When I say corporate, I mean all together. There is a huge movement going on in what's called evangelicalism to make the church look so much like the world that the world will feel comfortable coming into the church. Now, I don't even know what that means, the motive of that means. What does it mean? Well, we want people who don't believe in God to feel comfortable. What are you talking about? Think about that language for one thing. When you hear them define it, they say things like this. Well, we want them to come to church without them knowing that they're actually in church. And then at the right time, it could be months, could be years, could be when, we'll spring church on them. Okay, personally, I don't see that in the Bible. That's kind of a little deceptive, isn't it? You know what? We insult the world. The world's pretty smart. And the world, maybe at Corinth, looked at the church at Corinth and said, who wants that mess? And I think the world outside these walls today looks at the organized church in America today and they say, well, who wants that mess? I think the world is longing to see a real church. They may not jump for joy when they see one, But a real church alive, telling the truth and living the truth and inviting them to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, here's what the world wants without them even knowing it yet. They want to see people different, changed radically by God to see if it's worthy of them putting their faith in it. How do I know? Because I hear about it all the time. And listen, some of you live in that environment. You go home and you're attacked for your faith from your own family. Don't lose heart. Family members and friends who are attacking your faith, guess what? In my experience, it's been those who get converted first. The one yelling at you the most, you know what they're doing? They will never, I'll tell you for them. They won't tell you this. They're pushing and prodding and testing and trying to make you snap. Number one, to justify them rejecting your message if you snap. Or number two, if you don't snap, then they're seeing if they should believe in the same God that you do because it seems to be working in your life. And three, if you do snap and you think you've lost all hope, that's what the word "I'm sorry" is so powerful about. If you think, Pastor Jack, man, you just hit me right between the eyes. I blew my witness with my friends. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You go back to them and you tell them, hey, you know how I slapped your cat the other day? That was not Christ-like. That was wrong of me. I asked God to forgive me, but the Bible says I need to ask you to forgive me. Hey, you know what? You can redeem your buffoonery by saying or asking someone to forgive you. You can restore your witness. Pretty powerful stuff. And so the Lord would have us to be different in this world. And let's just face it, we are different. Jesus said in John 17:14, when he's praying what is called the high priestly prayer of Christ. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, which is quite misleading, the Lord's Prayer. You say, Pastor, I have a plaque on my wall, the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's sweet, but the Lord's real prayer is John 17. It's known as the high priestly prayer of Christ. When Jesus, just before he returns back home to heaven, he prays to his Father for you and I and for every believer. And in verse 14, he says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them. Why? Because they are not of this world. Just as I am not of the world. Listen to this. I wish verse 15 was not in the Bible. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, Jesus, come on, you're going back to heaven. How about taking us? Jesus turns, listen, about you and I being galvanized to the world. Jesus prays to his Father, Father, take these who believe in your word, who the world already hates because they're not like the world, and I pray that you would just protect them from Satan who would seek to destroy them, but keep them in the world. Why would Jesus pray that? To make you and I a witness in a lost world. That's how much God loves the world. You know your friends that drive you nuts? God loves them. You say, yeah, but Jack, my friend is a Satanist. He's dope, smoking, coke, line drawing, bank robbing thief. God hates that sin. He hates all sin, but he loves that guy. It's amazing. But just because God loves the guy doesn't mean he gets a free pass into heaven. The guy's got to repent. He's got to change his mind. How's he going to change his mind? Through you. And see, this is going to get a little nervous. I love my friend, but I want to talk to my friend about Jesus because he might think I'm what? Different? He already thinks you're different. He hasn't told you yet. Well, people think I'm weird. They already think it. What are we protecting? Which leads us to this. We need to be strong. We're to be in the world. We are to be wise. We're to embrace the truth, the fact that we're going to be different, and that we're to be strong. When he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, he goes on to say, I'll list all the sins. He says, since you then would need to go out of this world, that's an awesome statement. The Lord knows that you and I live in a world of hostility and difficulty and anger of those that are around us who are lost. And the awesome practicality of the Bible says, hey, Christian, get back out there. Get back out there in the world and shine. You know, how's that little song go? I mean, it's a little song. It's a song for little people. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. A little fire going out of your finger. That's what he wants us to do. But we're to be strong, and this is not comfortable, what I'm about to say. Listen carefully. Ephesians 3:16 says that Paul is praying to for the church of Ephesus, and he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. God wants you, based upon that verse, the inside of you and I, who we really are down deep inside. Who are we down deep inside? Paul is praying that the Lord would strengthen you with all his might in the inner man. The inner man is the guy that lives inside of you. Not the guy that's on the outside of you. This stuff means nothing. It's all down inside of the motives and of the reasons and of the passions and of the pursuits. Paul says, that guy, the new you, the Christian. Paul says, I pray that you'd be strengthened. Now here's the part that might just freak people out. In fact, it did the last two services, so just be ready to be freaked. What do you think about when you hear words like emotional or sentiment or sensitive or sensitivity? Now, if you're reading Hallmark cards, that's cool. Oh, sensitive. Look up those words, and they're all based upon one word: feeling. How you feel in the moment. In the moment, how you feel. Here's the thing. We are to be strong as Christians, listen everybody, based upon the Bible. This is to be our strength. This is the authority of our lives as Christians. This book tells us what to think, say, or do. And when I say that, I can hear people in my mind who have said, that's ridiculous. I'm going to be my own man. Listen, go try that. Go ahead. We've all tried it. You'll crash your life. God made you. He gave us his book. This is the manual. Okay, pull out a glove box, open the manual. Drive your life according to this book. And you'll do great. Here's the amazing thing. The decisions you make, the decisions I make, the things we say, the things that we do, is it based upon the authority of God's Bible? Every day, not just today. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. Excuse me. It is the Lord's day. And tomorrow's the Lord's day. Tuesday's the Lord's day. There ain't no day that ain't the Lord's day. It's all his day. You are his, and we're to live this at all times. That's why we have a daily Bible reading. That's why Jesus said to pick up our cross and follow him daily. Now mark this. When we think of sentiment, emotional, and sensitive, these are things that our culture has exalted as almost the authority on what we should do. Like this. How do you feel about that? How do you feel? It depends. I'm really honest with you right now this morning. I not only woke up this morning not feeling like getting out of bed, which is very rare for me. I usually almost 99% of the time, I wake up before my alarm clock in life. I get up. And even when Lisa knows this, even when I have a day off and I can sleep in, I cannot do that. If I sleep past 6 o'clock, there's something wrong with me. I gotta get up before the sky turns light. I feel like I missed my day. This morning I got up and I didn't want to get out of bed. And I got up and I'm, and you know what I'm talking about? When your body just doesn't, everything is just, I don't want to go. And I walked outside and looked up. It's beautiful, by the way, this morning. This is at 3 o'clock this morning. Looked up. Wow, it's beautiful. I still don't want to go. And I spend that time with the Lord in prayer and making last final corrections to the notes. I didn't want to do that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to pray. I just don't feel like it. Which was funny because as I was telling him I don't want to pray, I'm actually praying. I don't want to do this. Lord, I know you love me and all is fine, but Lord, can I call in sick? I'm checking for a sore throat. I got here and the pastors go, you okay? I'm fine. What's the matter? I don't want to be here. I love all you, but I don't want to be here. Here's how I know how carnal it is. You ever been like this? Or maybe it's just me. Back in the green room this morning, this morning, waiting to come out here, I thought to myself, hey, flesh, what do you want to do? You don't want to be here, so what do you want to do? You know, you're like, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? Here's how you know you're messed up. And you need to divorce yourself from your emotions. When your flesh says, I don't know what I want to do. Because, you know, I mean, normally my flesh would say, Hawaii! Wahoo's fish tacos, black beans, and rice. It didn't say anything. You say, what are you talking about? There's days in our lives when emotions seek to rule over us. And when we make a decision based upon what we feel like doing versus what we should do, we make the stupidest decisions. And we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And things like being or having a sentiment, a feeling about something. When people come to church and they say, you know what, Pastor, I'm leaving my wife because, the guy doesn't talk like that, but he'd say, you know, Pastor, I feel like leaving my wife. I'm going to leave my wife because I just have this feeling and I pray to God and he wants me happier. What's the answer to that? The answer is no, he does not want you happier. He doesn't want, where does this in the Bible, be happy? That's in a song. It made it into our Bibles. He wants you holy. You become holy by following him, not by doing what you feel. We get all messed up. When God says, do this, do that, turn left, turn right, we're so funny. We're more obedient to our GPS than we are to the word of God. Turn left in 300 feet. Okay, listen, we're turning left. And God says, hey, go here, don't go there. And we go, I'm going to pray about it. You don't need to pray about it. Can you imagine? GPS, turn left 100 feet. Let's pray about that. You'll never think of that. But obeying God, we need to be strong, which leads us, really, to the second point is that we're not of this world. Verse 11 teaches us that we're in the world, but we're not of it. We are not of the world. We are Christians. The word Christian means to follow Christ. And we are en route to heaven. We are to be obedient to the word of God, verse 11 teaches us. This is serious stuff. Ushers, let the people run. Just let them out. Here it comes. Here it is. But now I have written to you, this is the apostles speaking to the church of Corinth, not to keep company. Don't hang out. Don't be a friend of. Cut the guy off. Don't go to the movies. Go to dinner. You fill in the blank. Don't keep company. Do not keep company with anyone named. The word named is one who declares himself to be a Christian. Listen. Who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idol worshiper or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Now watch this. You say, Jack, I'm totally confused. You mean I can go out into the world and witness to the people who do those things, but I'm not even to have dinner with a Christian who's doing those things? Answer, correct. Why? Watch this. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. You're in huge trouble now. Huge. You know why? Any person declaring himself to be a brother, a Christian, is judged with a stricter judgment by God. The world, God expects nothing out of the world. They don't know him. When we go to the world, we don't expect anything from them. The moment somebody says, hey, how are you? I'm a Christian. Oh, dear. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. If somebody comes up and says, hey, how are you? I'm a Satanist. Okay, then. I know what to expect from this guy. I'm going to put on garlic and, you know, I'm kidding, but you know what I mean? Put up the cross and, no, I'm joking. But listen, I know, I don't expect anything from him. He doesn't know God. The moment someone says, hey, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. In my life, and I know in your life, I'm just being honest right now for you, is, oh dear, that guy just said he's a Christian. Let's watch and see. Huh? Let's watch and see. In the context of Christianity, in the context of the church, you will find wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says you will find those who are out to destroy people. You'll find those who are out to take advantage of people. Why? All of this stuff. If you have a guy who says he's a Christian and a guy who says he's not a Christian, their human fleshly appetites are exactly the same. Extortion, sexual gratification, partying or whatever. You fill in the blank. They're out for the flesh. And when somebody says, yeah, whatever, they live in the flesh, they live for the flesh, and then on Sunday they say, I'm a Christian. Yikes. I don't know. We'll have to watch and see. And it gets real quiet in here, and this is serious stuff, huh? And yet the world out there is saying, they wouldn't even come in here, but the world would say right now to what I just said, what do you guys say? Amen, pastor. Yeah, preach it, dude. That's true. The world says that's true. The Christians in name only want to say, I'm leaving. I'm not going to take that. No, I'm going to that church again. So next week you'll be able to park anywhere you want. We are to be obedient to the word of God. And I'll give you some hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter 1, 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, you know the stuff that we used to do, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Watch this. This is awesome. If you think the answer to being a true Christian is wearing black, I like wearing black, but you think, oh, I'm going to wear black. I'm not going to put any makeup on. I'm going to put my hair in a bun. And I'm going to get a really big Bible, suck on lemons, and I'll be holy. And so when people see me, hey, you're different. Yes, I am. I am a Christian. I'm following God. Won't you come? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? That's it? Forget it. What do you think? Listen, that's religion trying to attain a status to impress God. When Peter said, by the way, Peter's quoting from Leviticus chapter 20, Moses. Peter is saying, I got some good news for all of us. Because God's holy and you're in the family of God now, you're one of his kids, you can be holy now because he's holy. He's your dad. He's your father. And he turns to you. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. And he seals you, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. And then he winds you up. And he puts you in this world. And he sends you out into it because you're not of it. And you go out into it. And you come from the position of God having declared you holy. And you live like that. And that's why the world will rejoice in seeing you in sincerity and honesty, in power, and Satan will tremble.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's called Living Out the Word of God. Living Out the Word of God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter written by Paul, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.